Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Hi, Larry Mueller here. You know what? Piping plovers have made a great recovery in our state, and it's thanks to the efforts of a lot of organizations. And we'll be talking to the director of one of those programs on the show today. In the studio with us, Drew Feldkirchner. He is director of the Natural Heritage Conservation Program. It's part of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and you'll be able to call in with your questions, your comments, and your experiences. But, you know, when I think about piping plovers, the person that always comes to mind is Sarah Jacobs, because you think birding and birds and piping plovers, she's we call her Miss Piping Plover.
You know? I was afraid you would say it's because I have loud pipes, because I'm a loud talker. So I'll go with that one instead.
Well, you've got a good voice for this, and I'm glad you're here because we're in our winter member drive. Your support, as you listen to the two of us talk here for a minute, it's really the foundation of all of our programs. In fact, it's the largest piece at what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great discussion. So we want to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And how are we doing anyway?
We are making great progress. We had 12 folks who joined in with their show of support for WPR programming last hour. And this hour, thanks so much for that momentum. This hour, we have an exciting opportunity. When you make your gift of any amount, that's current members, new members, any amount, any time right now in this hour, your gift will be matched by an additional $100 from current members, who also include folks from Middleton. It's a really great opportunity.
So if I gave 20 bucks, somebody's going to throw
match
in
$100. Yeah. That's wonderful math. I like that kind of math.
I like that math. Well, and you know, it's really their way of encouraging listeners, encouraging you as you listen in here to join in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can increase the impact of your gift. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And these drives are a really great opportunity for us to talk a little bit more about how our funding really works. Federal and state tax dollars provide important funding for WPR programs, which do come from listeners like you. Voluntary listener support is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
Yeah, really, it is. And that's why you make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of programs on WPR possible. And because WPR matters to you, I'm sure it does, make a personal contribution to pay for the programs you listen to. And it's easy. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And maybe you first joined the WPR community as a listener. Maybe you found us through our web articles. And then you found yourself turning to WPR every day. And after a while, well, it's time to join the community as a donor. Funding the great programs on WPR is, after all, a group effort.
Yeah, we do this together, just one gift at a time, a dollar at a time. If you've never given before, maybe you start with a donation of, say, $100, or maybe it's $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. It's easy to give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This drive, donate any amount, and you'll have five chances to win $500 for your next travel experience. No contributions necessary. You can just send us a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Travel Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution might be $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Some people give $200 a month. We appreciate and we count on every gift.
We sure do. And whatever amount works for you. And giving to WPR is super easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time and a gift, again, of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you every single day in the form of great programs. So a good time to do it would be right now. Show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And don't forget, when you do this hour, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. So it's a great time to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552, and you can increase the impact of your support.
Yeah, as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. No contribution is necessary. You can see the WPR.org/drawing. Go online for that for details. But you know what? Better deal would be, Sarah?
Tell me.
I think it'd be better if they just donated right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And you know what? If you are a sustainer, you don't even have to do that, although I'd like you to kick in a little extra, but you're automatically entered and you have those five chances.
You sure are. It's a one way we're trying to show a little extra appreciation because sustaining support is such a key part of what keeps WPR's future secure. It's reliable, ongoing funding that we know we can count on month to month, and you can count on us month to month. It's a wonderful relationship, so why don't you become a sustainer? It's super easy, takes just a few minutes, and we can set it up however you'd like at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I want to get one of those knit caps. Can I? Will you talk about that next time you come by?
Sure will. I'm so excited about those.
I'm super excited about those knit caps.
They're snazzy.
For sure. For sure. And I'm super excited to have Drew Feldkirchner with us. And he's smiling, looking at me right now across the table. It's great to have him here. His role is director of the Natural Heritage Conservation Program. It's part of the Wisconsin DNR, and he's going to talk about the program, some of the current and past projects. I was looking through a brochure here and some of the successes, and there's really been some great successes. You might have even been a part of some of those successes because I know there were plenty of volunteers involved, but one way or the other, if you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Drew Feldkirchner, welcome back. Good to have you with us again.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here again.
Well, you know, I think the first thing, there may be people are saying, what the heck's the Natural Heritage Conservation Program? So we should probably start by just talking about its mission and goals.
Sure. So as you said, we're a bureau within the Department of Natural Resources. And I think our role or our piece of that DNR mission is kind of best described just right in our name. So conserving Wisconsin's natural heritage. And specifically what I mean there is the plants, the animals, the high quality special places that make Wisconsin special. And those are the things that we've inherited from the past that it's our job to conserve those to the best of our ability and so that we can pass them on to future generations.
Yeah. And it's funded. Is it all state funding or how's it funded?
It's a small amount of state funding. I think the last estimate I saw was something like 25 cents per person in Wisconsin. We rely a lot on grants and soft funding and donations, just like you're talking about today. And through that, we've been able to piece together a budget that's allowed us to kind of modestly grow our program over the years and get a lot more work done on the ground.
Yeah, it's a good thing. Is it part of that tax deduction? I filled my taxes out and I dutifully wrote in a contribution there.
Well, thanks for that. And absolutely, if you haven't done your taxes yet, you can still donate on your taxes, just like you could in the past when there was the loon. The loon's no longer there, but the Endangered Resources Fund is what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I mentioned at the start of the show, there were a couple of reports that came out last year. Give us some details on those reports.
Sure, yeah, there were a couple of sobering reports. They weren't surprising, I think, for a lot of folks that are working in these areas, but I think they were good in terms of highlighting that this is a global issue and it affects all of us. One of them, the name's so long, I'm not even going to read the whole thing, but if someone's interested, if you look up IPBES, this is a group, an organization that is made up of 130 different countries. And they had hundreds of scientists looking across the globe. And what they estimate is that we have over a million species that risk becoming extinct.
God.
And just kind of highlighting, you know, some of the reasons for that, which is changes in land use, climate change, you know, in some cases, over exploitation of resources, invasive species, and so on. And then another journal article in Science talked about how we've lost a large number of birds since 1970. So we've lost 3 billion birds in North America. And this isn't just the rare species. So even the ones that are really recognizable, like the juncos and, yeah. and some of those the Baltimore Orioles, where it's the overall numbers have declined. And so that's concerning as well, of course. And then, of course, with insects, there have been a number of studies looking at decreases in insect populations. So those are a concern as well. So those are all things that we see mirrored here in Wisconsin at a different scale.
Yeah. Well, thinking a little more on the brighter side, I mentioned those piping plovers that Sarah Jacobs is so interested in and loves to see. What about them? We've got a little success going there, haven't we?
I think so, yeah. You know, they are charismatic, cute little birds.
Yeah,
they're very likable.
Yeah, they are.
They are little guys, and they kind of scurry along on the beaches. They use the cobbled beaches along the Great Lakes,
yeah.
in our part of the world at least. And then they overwinter in the southern U.S. And yes, we've had some good success there. I would say it's been a long project, but we had the best nesting success last year that we've seen in more than a century. And so it's been a great partnership. And I think this really illustrates what we'll talk about with a lot of projects, which is the power of these partnerships.
Yeah.
And this includes the Park Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service, the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Chippewa, the Nature Conservancy, all helping monitor birds, protecting nests, adding habitats, and helping to get towards success for that species.
You know, you mentioned all those organizations, and it's really great to hear them all involved. Do you communicate among all the groups, or how does it work?
We do. Our staff work pretty closely with those folks when they can. They work with their counterparts in other states as well for a number of these species because, of course, animals and plants don't recognize our state boundaries or our country boundaries, right? So we need to coordinate across their range whenever possible.
You have, and I want to mention this again, you have a 2019 and probably going to be one in 2020 field notes, too,
so.
That I want to just let people know about because it is really cool to look through.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been a really positive development, I think, for our program is, you know, everyone has busy lives. Everyone has a lot going on, and we have a lot going on that we want people to know about. And so how can we come up with a, you know, kind of a small package that has a lot of kind of teasers, a little bit of information about our projects? And our hope is that people will use that to go find out more on the internet or other places and get involved if they want to. And a lot of people have done that in recent years, so it's been really nice.
And they can get copies of that. Go to the DNR website, I suppose.
Yep. If you get the Natural Resources Magazine, it was in there. So
yep,
that's great.
It.
And then also you can get it from us. And my goal is to have no copies of this left at the end of the year. So I would love to give you copies. If you have an organization where you want a big stack of them, I would love to do that because we want to get these in the hands of as many people as possible.
Yeah, and I just opened it up, right? Your centerfold has a great centerfold because it's got the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas final season summary. And just looking through that, to me, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a really fantastic project. I mean, that one could be its own show pretty easily because there's a lot you could talk about. It's pretty exciting. It's a very comprehensive field survey that's documenting the distribution and abundance of Wisconsin birds. And what's really great is the only way that this project happened was by the work of over 2,000 volunteers scouring the state, documenting birds over a five-year period, out there getting bit by mosquitoes, getting up at the crack of dawn, hiking up and down, you know, hills and so on. And they surveyed over 1,200 blocks and submitted over 161,000 bird checklists, 2.2 million observations. So, you know, what this really illustrates is, again, partnerships. This wasn't just the DNR. This was the Society of Ornithology, the Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory, Wisconsin Bird Conservation Partnership. But it also illustrates, I think, citizen science. And when you have these really talented birders throughout the state that are willing to give their time and the power of that. And then also the technology. You know, these folks were using those phones we carry around every day to document these observations. And it gets put into a database that's used throughout the country and actually now throughout the world. And there's systems in place to guarantee the quality of the data and so on. So it's really fantastic. I would love to see something like this for a lot of the other critters out there that need our help.
Absolutely. And I love the idea of being a partnership. And it just reminds me about the partnership here at Wisconsin Public Radio that we have with our listeners. Sarah Jacobs wandered back in today to help me talk with you about your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy here. Listener support, it's the largest source of funding for our programs. And this drive is your time to take action, become a partner with us. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Sarah, I love the fact that listeners have a great opportunity right now.
They sure do. Right now, it is an amazing opportunity from current members, including a member in Middleton, because they will donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. It increases the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs so fast and so easily when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I was thinking about the program, this particular program. We cover topics like the environment. We talk about consumer issues. We talk about gardening. There are a lot of advice and how-to topics. I love to talk with Wisconsin authors. And I also, as you can tell by looking at me, I love to talk about food, too. And so I think we get a lot of great information on this show. I learn a lot, and I think our listeners do, too. And it's possible because of the financial support that we get from you as you're listening in. So I hope you'll support the program and all the programs you enjoy here on the Ideas Network with your gift. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And when you make that gift, become a sustainer. That means you can choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or your credit card, whichever works best, and it'll continue for as long as you'd like.
And because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without, make your support ongoing with a sustainable gift. It's convenient, flexible too. You can get started right now, as a matter of fact. Give 10 or 20 bucks a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The 2020 WPR t-shirt has a geometric design on a heather forest green background. It puts your WPR pride front and center. Imagine yourself wearing the new t-shirt. How do you feel?
Very comfortable.
Not only am I cool as a person, I'm also cool because I have a nice light t-shirt on.
Find out how great it feels to show off your WPR pride. Ask for your t-shirt now when you give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on. And that's why your support during this winter member drive is so important. And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And now is the right time because, again, we've got that special opportunity. Right now, when you donate, current members, including a member in Middleton, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a couple of minutes to contribute.
Yeah, and you won't have to keep remembering, oh, yeah, I got to do that. I have to do that. Just take care of it. Get it done. And then you'll have the good feeling of supporting the WPR programs that you love. And you can see how good that feels right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I'm thinking myself, I wish I could just do it. It's hard for me to contribute right now because I'm on the air. But
you're fired up.
Yeah, I'm fired up. So I want to give my, I want to get involved in this extra $100 when I donate again to WPR. Maybe I can do it during the news. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and increase the impact of your support.
And it's a great time because you can support the programs you value. There's that $100 additional gift. And then you can also show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2020 WPR t-shirt. We're really excited about this. The design is great. The color is great. And you can ask for that when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you for that. But you can make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Maybe add $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Make that connection with us right now. Do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We are taking a look at Natural Heritage Conservation Program for the past year, for 2019, looking ahead to 2020 with our guest today, Drew Feldkirchner. Drew is with the DNR. He directs the Natural Heritage Conservation Program. There are so many cool things that are going on with that program, and I'm really happy to talk with him about them. Maybe you've been a volunteer in some of those programs, or maybe you have a question about them. I hope you'll join in. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. There are so many great ones that we can talk about. You know, one of the things that has been kind of a terrible thing has been with our bats and our bat populations. Hadn't been a lot of good news, but at least there was a breakthrough last year, as I understand it.
We hope so.
Yeah.
So for folks that don't know, white nose syndrome is a fungus that's affecting our bats in very dramatic ways. So it started out east in, I think, New York in 2006, and it's kind of predictably moved across the country. And it's pretty much statewide now, and it's reduced our bat populations by as much as 98% in some cases. So it's really been devastating. The good thing, there are some good things I think we can think about and to plan for the future. And one is we were able to get a good baseline of information about our bats before white nose. So we know what our targets will be. And that's largely, again, through citizens. And when about 10 years ago now, when we were able to mobilize and do a bunch of monitoring throughout the state through citizens using devices where they were picking up the calls of bats. And so we have that baseline now. And then also last year, or right now currently, we're in the middle of a trial for a vaccine. So we're working with partners again, UW, with U.S. Geological Survey, to try out a vaccine. We're in the trial period right now, so bats are overwintering. So in the spring, we'll be able to find out how successful that has been. But, you know, early preliminary results are positive. I think to be able to administer that to the bats on a wide scale, we're not there yet. But we're continuing to work in the right direction in that area, and we're hopeful.
So it actually involves sitting there with a needle and injecting, eh?
Well, right now, in fact, right before I walked out the door, I was handed the draft of the Wisconsin Bat Program's newsletter, and it's called the Echolocator. And I recommend anyone that's interested in bats, and we'll talk later about how you can find all these materials, but if you just remember NHC for Natural Heritage Conservation, you can enter that into the DNR website and you'll get to all this stuff. But the Echolocator shows, the cover photo is one of these trials where they've got, you know, kind of a pipette of a vaccine, then poor little bats getting administered. But hopefully it's going to help the bat, and we're hopeful for the future.
Yeah, so they actually drink it? Or do they give them a shot?
How would I... So this is where I'm going to get into master of none territory, right? So since I'm the program director and we have, you know, over 400 rare animal species, so I'm not as close to the technical realities of this stuff. But I bet when our echolocator comes out, you'll be able to learn a lot more. I think administering it's going to be tough. They're going to have to come up with some way. I mean, and with other approaches that have been discussed, there have been, you know, spraying the inside of the caves and things like that. But you have to look at the downside of doing all those things, too, and what unintended risks might you encounter.
Yeah. Or do you put it in the water? There's a lot of potential for problems.
Some of the early treatments were with putting the bats in coolers and putting a gas in. Well, that's not very logistically feasible, right? Bats, when they're in their hibernacula, they're in cracks and crevices, and they're not all just out in the open. So I guess I would say stay tuned on that, and we'll, you know, for folks that are interested, we'll be able to have more information for you this spring.
Yeah, that. But it's good to hear something positive when it comes to bats. I mean, it's always so negative, and they're such an important part of our lives here on this planet that we don't want to lose them. That's for sure. Don't want to lose whooping cranes either. There's some
Welcome
good news.
Welcome to a special edition of the People's.
Well, the People's Pharmacy tried to get in there, but we're not going to let them. We're not going to let them break in here with as we talk with Drew Feldkirchner about all of the Natural Heritage Conservation Program activities that are going on. And the whooping cranes, how are they doing overall?
Well, I think again, there's reason to be optimistic here. We had 9 chicks that were fledged in the last 2 years, and that was 43% of all the wild chicks from the project. So those are hopeful signs. I think, you know, this is another one. What I think this really illustrates is what happens when a species is lost and how difficult it can be to bring them back. I think of that as the emergency room.
Yeah.
Once something's in the emergency room, we're doing these very intensive efforts and a lot of resources involved to try to bring something back, and we don't want to do that. So what we need are more proactive conservation strategies where we're keeping things out of that emergency room, using more preventative medicine, if you will. maybe we'll talk about that more later with some of the things that are being discussed around the country right now. But again, huge effort, part of a much larger partnership, and you know, we're just fortunate to have all those folks on board. Wisconsin's just one piece of a larger partnership.
And we've got some really good partners, I think, here in the state for of the cranes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With the Crane Foundation, hasn't it got to be a leader?
Yeah, absolutely. Crane Foundation, several agencies that are involved making that project happen.
And I'll give the number again. If you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. We're talking kind of about, well, we've hit on some bad news or some disturbing news, but what we're trying to highlight here a bit today is give you a dose of good news for bats and other and hoopers and a whole lot of other animals as well. So join in, 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Habitat, you know, it's one of our efforts I know relates to habitat. Rare flowers is an example where we've done a lot of work.
Yeah, you know, if you look at why are things rare, you know, often yeah. That's one of the things that's important for us is to know, well, first of all, is it rare, right? And then why is it rare? And then third, is there something that can be done about it? And fourth is who should do that work?
Yeah.
So I'm constantly asking those questions. Habitat is a big reason why some things are rare. So when you think about like a prairie or savanna, you know, those were big time communities across the landscape at the time of European settlement. Now they're much less than 1%. So that means the animals that use those or the plants that use those habitats don't have a lot of place to live. And so we definitely work on habitat management. We do a lot of restoration work involving burning and removing invasives and things like that across our state natural area system and other places. And the thing about habitat, sometimes they're, you know, we need a specific place, like a prairie remnant or something like that. But also, there's things people can do right in their backyard. You can plant for pollinators, native flowers, and you can help a lot of species that way. And even if you just have a bucket on a balcony, you can plant some of these things and actually help pollinators, from butterflies to, you know, our bumblebees and so on.
There's a lot of good opportunities for you out there. And then certainly we're interested in maybe how you're doing that. Can you give a call with some suggestions on what you've been doing or maybe just have a question? I know George in Ogama has a question for us, so let's go there. Hi, George.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
On my bird feeder a couple of days ago, I was really amazed to see a black squirrel come to the feeder, but the black squirrel had a red tail.
Yeah.
And I was inquiring about it, and I was told that they have these squirrels out in Washington, the state of Washington, out by the West Coast. And I just wonder if that's true or what's happening.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Drew? We've got black squirrels with red tails.
It is. I think there's a lot of variation across, you know, squirrels. And I know that darker coloration is sometimes common in kind of localized areas. I can't think of the name of the communities right now. There's a couple of spots in Wisconsin where you see a lot of these black squirrels.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see them all different from light to dark coloration throughout the state. But it's a cool sighting. It's neat to see in your backyard.
And, you know, you get a black squirrel and there happens to run into a red squirrel, you can wind up with a black squirrel with a red tail.
Yeah, that's probably a genetics question that I won't be able to answer, but it's a cool phenomenon.
Oh, sure. It definitely is. George, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call very much. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. We always love to hear from you. And always love to hear from Sarah Jacobs, who's back with us again to talk about our member driving. We need to talk about it with you now because it's important because of some kind of cool things that are going on during the show in terms of how you can sort of extend the amount of money you give, maybe double it or more, as we visit with Sarah. I know she's got some good information about it. But your support, really, it's the biggest thing. It's the largest source of funding for our programs. This drive, it's your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give. So if you haven't given yet, go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And Sarah, why don't you talk about that great opportunity that people have?
I sure will. It's really exciting. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Middleton, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe you've been thinking, I should. I know it's important to me. Maybe you just need a little extra push. Well, now is the time because you can boost the impact of your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, when I think about this program, I learned so much from the show myself. And just today, talking with Drew, before the show, I'm looking through some of the publications and this is really cool stuff that's going on here. And we're going to be able to talk about it on the air. And it's something we try to do every single day here from 11 to 12:30 and actually throughout the day. And we're listener-supported, of course, and that means when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you do make this hour and many more hours possible. So I just choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And let's do just like a little thought experiment here for a moment.
Oh.
Yeah, think about how easy it is to spend a dollar or more even a day on things that are just kind of part of your routine. You do it almost without even thinking about it. Like maybe buy a cup of coffee or a snack from the vending machine.
I do that every day, as a matter of fact. And
key
I want
to existence.
But also consider the news, the information, and the inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. So, hey, make maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month. It's just the right direction for you, I hope. Sign up right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
At 6 o'clock, as soon as my husband gets out of bed, I turn on the radio in the room, and it's on the whole day. I decided to become a sustaining member because it's so convenient. I've been a contributor to public radio probably for close to 20 years. It's just a very convenient way for the money to come out of your checking account on a monthly basis. My name is Nancy, and I'm from Sheldon, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Nancy, thank you so much. You know, I have a friend who wakes up to public radio because the radio automatically turns on. You might consider that, Nancy.
That's a great idea.
It is a great idea. Well, what about you? Do you wake up to WPR? If you do or you don't, I want you to go over there right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation. Larry Mueller with Sarah Jacobs, your support during this drive makes all the programs you rely on possible. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose.
And the day is young. You can make a difference now and then have plenty of hours left in the day to relish in your awesomeness. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you've set a wonderful tone for the rest of your day.
And remember that you will receive an additional $100 for every donation made, or we will.
Yeah.
I'm not going to send you a check for $100, but
maybe in the next drive we can experiment.
Yeah, we can experiment with that. But give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And increase the impact of your support.
And as an added bonus, as if that extra $100 to WPR wasn't enough, when you support the programs you love, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. We're really excited about this. It's super fun. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers who are making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, you could become one right now. Easy to set up monthly donations. You could take it off your credit card. You could have it drawn right out of the bank. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
It's a great way to provide ongoing support for the shows that you love. And no matter how you give, no matter what method you choose, your gift is powerful and makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Taking a look at the Natural Heritage Conservation Program on the show today, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Drew Kirchner. He directs the Natural Heritage Conservation Program. It's part of the Wisconsin DNR. It's always great to have him come by and talk with us. He's got a great radio voice, I noticed, and knows a lot about what's going on. And there are a lot of good success stories out there, and we're certainly happy to take your questions and comments as we move along. Let's take a call. Bob in Oshkosh, or near Oshkosh, your turn. Thanks. Whoa, we lost Bob. Sorry. Let's go to Goldie in Oregon. Hi, Goldie.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Thanks for taking my call. My husband is a retired game warden and has been retired for several years. But I had a question regarding a hawk that I have never actually seen before. We have red-tailed hawks, Cooper's hawks, many of them, but this hawk is pure black, the large black hawk. And I'm wondering what kind that is and if they're common in Wisconsin.
A large black hawk, what does it do? Does it soar? Does it, where do you see it?
It soars. I see it on telephone wires, and it has been soaring. You can tell it's a hawk by the wings and the size of it. I've never seen it pick anything up or go come down to the ground, but it does soar like a hawk, and it's very large.
Okay. So when you, and you know, someone may want to call in about some really rare hawk that's out there that I don't know about, because, you know, Sometimes you get sightings of unusual things that happen. But I would say, in terms of a dark-colored large raptor like that, if you're sure it's not an immature bald eagle, which is, you know, of course, one thing that comes to mind, it's not pure black, but it's quite dark. But also there's rough-legged hawk, I believe, is normally not dark like that, but there's a morph of it or a phase of it that can be really dark. And I actually saw one the other day, just, I think it was maybe an hour north of Madison, and talked to one of our staff about it. And he said, oh, yeah, rough-legged hawk, because normally they're not dark, and actually they're the ones you see in the winter if they're soaring. There's these dark patches, one on each wing, and that's how you can kind of identify those. But maybe someone can call in that can shed more light on this.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I don't know of an all-black hawk for sure.
No.
It could be just a color phase. Interesting, Goldie. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you as well. You know, darn it, I was going to mention another thing about birds, and it completely went out of my head. I know. In the Breeding Bird Atlas, there was, we have ibis, the first ever glossy ibis breeding in Wisconsin, which I thought was really cool.
I think it's very cool also. You know, it's the power of a project like this is you have a lot of boots on the ground, people out there and locating things like this. First ever glossy ibis breeding in Wisconsin, which is not expected, I don't think, because it almost exclusively nests on the Atlantic coast. So that was pretty neat. And I think there were several new breeding species found during the Atlas. Some of them weren't as kind of surprising as others. You know, we get some species that are, say, more southerly species that we're starting to see further north as the climate changes.
Yeah.
And birds, of course, can respond to their changes in habitat more quickly than some of the less mobile critters out there or plants. So we do see a number of those. And there were 13 new breeding species found this time that weren't found in the last Breeding Bird Atlas.
It surprised me as I looked at that. You know, canvasbacks, for example, I thought, oh, they must breed. I just assumed they had been breeders here all the time, but that's not the case.
Yeah, because
one of the 13.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of species that are here, but we don't have them documented breeding. And, you know, of course, with birds, you have species that kind of move through. We get to see them for a little bit of the year, and then they move on, you know. Some of the warblers, there's that, I think it's Wilson's warbler that looks like it has a little toupee.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might see it moving through, but it's usually headed, you know, further north.
Yeah. And Kirtland's warbler was another one. Man, that's great. And buffleheads, and, you know, in southern Wisconsin, we see those in the spring. Mm-hmm. The cans, the canvasbacks, and the buffleheads, you'll see them in the spring as they're coming through on their way somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much, you know, diversity with birds and so much fun to be had, you know, bird watching. I'd say as far as the Kirtland's warbler, that's a really neat story too, actually. That one just came off of our federal endangered and threatened species list. And so that was a big success story. Wisconsin is a smaller player there. So the big population is in Michigan, where they've been working for many years. But we have had a population here for a number of years now, so it's small, but it's growing. And I think that's really important. You don't want all of your eggs, no pun intended, in one basket. And so it's good to, you know, be able to have a larger range like that. And so we're looking forward to hopefully seeing our population continue to grow and be able to contribute to that global population.
You know, as I look at this, just to go on this page some more, because I really love the centerfold here of your field, 2019 field notes, how many species nested in your county? And you've got a nice color. I'm looking down there for Dane County. It looks like in my county we had maybe 120 different species nesting in our county. And there's some counties, like Bayfield up there, county is 150 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's really going to vary based on the habitats that are present. You know, when you get up in the North Woods, that's part of a group of birds that you won't necessarily see in the south. And so although there's some overlap depending on the species. So it's really, I mean, this is just such a rich data set. There's so much you can do with this to help with conservation efforts, to inform us, and just for people to learn about the natural world in Wisconsin. And I think it enriches your life, frankly, as you learn more about it. And frankly, people love these maps, too. We have a map like that for bald eagle nests, and it's really popular when we go to events and things like that. Because people like to see their spot on the map, and how does it compare to the other counties. And it's really kind of a cool way to try to engage people.
You know, I want to switch gears on you just a little bit, because I want to talk about burns. We're almost getting to that time of the year where we're almost in it. Prescribed burns, they're an important tool for conservationists. And talk a little bit about when are they used and who benefits. So a lot of things benefit from it.
Burns?
Yeah.
Yeah. So prescribed fire is a critically important tool for us. And usually when we're using a prescribed fire, we are trying to maintain the habitat in an open, usually open.
Yeah.
Sometimes we use it in forested situations more rarely. But typically, you know, say a grassland, the species that use those habitats require open habitats. They need light coming in for the plants, and then those plants provide for pollinators, for birds that use those species, and so on. So, unfortunately, you know, these sites, the forest often kind of wins the battle. So the trees come in or the shrubs, and if you're going to be able to keep that habitat, you have to do a lot of hard work to keep it there. Prescribed fire is a really efficient way to do it. It's very effective. It's fires have naturally occurred for many years. Native Americans used fire as a tool as well. That was really important in Wisconsin for keeping these areas open. And so there's a whole set of rare species that really requires us to do this kind of work. And so we do burning. There's other folks around the state, like the Prairie Enthusiasts and the Nature Conservancy, that do burning. There's other programs in the DNR that use that. And, you know, it's, you know, in a lot of ways, it's more efficient than pesticides. We don't have to use pesticides. Yeah. And it's just, it's the right, I guess, tool for the job.
It's the right thing to do. Another good thing to do is to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. Sarah Jacobs here is tapping me on the shoulder saying, hey, are you going to talk here or what are we going to do?
I'm just so excited.
You should see the smile on her face. You can count on the Ideas Network for great talks, and it's your gift, any amount that makes the talks possible. Listener support, the largest source of funding for our show, so why not support us right now at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552. It's so important, and there's a great opportunity right now.
It is. So it's so important right now, especially because current members, including a member in Middleton, will donate an additional $100 when you give this hour. It'll increase the impact of your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs just that easily when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are listener supported. We heard from Crystal in Oshkosh. She likes Garden Talk, so that's one of her shows. And she says, this spring I plan to garden again while listening to the Garden Talk show on Friday. It's one of the many shows, and shows like this one that I think capture a lot of people's imagination and attention. We're listener supported. If it's captured your attention, I hope you'll join in and contribute at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Make this hour and many more hours possible. Any amount, takes a few minutes, make your gift.
And, you know, we also heard from Mary in Wallace, Michigan, who said, WPR has been my constant companion since I started my own business, as well as being the only radio station allowed in my car. I like how you roll, Mary. And she also said, Larry makes my lunch hour. Thank you, Mary. Well, you have made our hour. How about now it's your turn. Why don't you join Mary in making this hour and many more hours of Wisconsin Public Radio programming possible at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
Yeah, just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And I don't care if your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, we appreciate it. We count on it.
That's true. No matter how much you support, it's just important that you do, because that's how this all is possible. And we've got a special opportunity right now. It's a great time because current members, including a member in Middleton, will add an extra $100 to every gift this hour. It's incredible, and it's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can boost the impact of your contribution right now with just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are getting to the top of the hour, so time's a-wasting here. And you might wonder, oh my gosh, I've got to give, how much should I give? Well, that's up to you, your contribution, any amount. Will be turned into great programs that keep you informed and entertained all day.
And then when you make your gift in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, when you do that, you play an essential part in funding the programs that you count on truly every day.
And remember, here's just a minute to go or so before the top of the hour. You will, WPR will receive an additional $100 when you donate. So give now, add another $100 to your donation in a way. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the 2020 WPR t-shirt. That's when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm going to go with $20 a month, and then I'm going to get that knit hat because I love that Wisconsin Public Radio knit hat. Well, I'll tell you what, this is it's always great to have our guest today with us, Drew Feldkirchner, and great to have you listening, and we'll be back with him to talk some more. In the meantime, contribute now at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for listening on the Ideas Network. We're talking about endangered species on the show today, and we're taking a look at the Natural Heritage Conservation Program with our guest, Drew Feldkirchner. Back with us, directs the Natural Heritage Conservation Program, part of the DNR, and it's great to have him along. You may have some questions. I hope you'll join in. Number's 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And, Drew, we have a Dave in Brule, Wisconsin, has been waiting a bit, so let's go there. Dave, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. We've got property in northern Douglas County, only a few miles from Lake Superior along the Brule River. Probably 12, 15 years ago, we took a significant portion of it, probably 40 acres or so, and put it in NRCS's Wetland Reserve Program, and so it could not be developed, and they put in a number of ponds. It was really a lot of biodiversity there. We had sharp-tailed grouse. We had bobolinks, a variety of waterfowl every spring and fall. But what's happening now is, in the last 8 to 10 years, is the encroachment that you mentioned earlier. White pine and aspen are taking over a large segment of it. And I talked to the NRCS about this. I was under the assumption when we entered this this program that there would be management of it. There would be some steps to keep it in the wetlands. It is. It was a fallow field. It was just unused field, but now it's rapidly turning into a woodland again. And DNR, back in the day, I retired from the agency, and back in the day, there was money for some of that maintenance. But in fact, they did a wonderful job for a few years. But now it's that money's gone. Any ideas on what we can do? It's be difficult for us to burn ourselves.
Yeah.
Or to pay to have it mowed. I mean, it would be tough. We're looking, any other options that we might have to bring some of these unique critters back?
Yeah, Dave, it sounds like you've got, first of all, a really neat site, the species that you mentioned.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I would say, I'm just trying to think of, you know, are there any programs at the state level that would help? And I'm not thinking of anything, but it doesn't mean there could be federal programs, state programs. So what I would do is go to the DNR website and find there's some pages set up for private landowners, and there are some programs. As far as the ones our program administers, it's just a small, it's very limited, and it's at this point only in the southwestern part of the state, so it wouldn't help with your project. But there may be other things. I know even there's things people are doing for deer management that I don't know if there'd be any overlap there or not with trying to keep that area open for deer and kind of achieve multiple objectives. There's a program called DMAP. I don't know if it would fit into that. And, you know, maybe there's some grants out there that would help, because I think that species list you mentioned, you know, that would be Again, I'm not familiar with all the programs, but if I was, you know, reviewing a grant application and I saw those species, I would know, like, okay, this site has some potential and maybe it's a good place to invest some resources.
Yeah, so a little more digging around, Dave. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You have, Drew, I wanted to mention a couple. You got a couple of events that, before I forget about it, we should probably talk about ways people can get involved and so forth.
Yeah, so there's a couple of events. One is there's a Wisconsin Monarch Collaborative webinar, so anyone can participate in this. And it's about planting a native plant garden to help monarchs. And that's going to be on Monday, March 2nd from noon to 1. And there's speakers from UW Extension, UW Oshkosh, and UW Arboretum. And they're going to discuss ways to establish a new monarch garden and just some favorite plants of the monarch butterfly. There's a link for free registration you can get through UW Stevens Point, but you can also, if you're a Facebook user, you can. There's a DNR event set up for this. There's also a Wisconsin Arboretum event set up. So if you have any trouble finding it, let us know and we'll get you in the right direction. Another event that's pretty exciting, I think, is the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Conference, and that's occurring March 20th to 21st in Manitowoc. And early bird registration closes on February 23rd, so it's coming up pretty
quickly.
Coming
up 4 days or so.
But, you know, this is a great event. It allows citizen-based monitoring partners, volunteers, to get together with professional scientists and folks that are conducting high-quality monitoring of our natural resources around the state. And we're trying to establish and strengthen connections and information sharing. There will be a bunch of kind of lightning round talks available and things like that. There will be some awards given out. I think it's going to be a really good event, and it's been really popular over the years, and it's inexpensive. I think it only costs, like, the 1 day was $35, and that includes all the meals.
Oh.
And then the half day was even less. So I think it goes up by $10 if you don't get the early bird. But there's been a big effort to try to keep the cost down and to get as many people to participate as possible. And then just a couple other things I'd mention, just if you're out at any of these events and you want to stop by and just say hi and talk, we'll have tables at Canucopia. That's March 13th through the 15th. And we will also be at the Earth Day Conference at Monona Terrace in Madison on April 20th. And that's sponsored by the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison. We'd love to connect with you folks. If anyone wants to stop by, if you're at those events, please do.
And, you know, there's I was thinking about the people that you have been involved with, the volunteers and people who have made a big difference over time with the program. And one that really struck me was the hatching success for turtles, for rare turtles. You got this really cool photo in your 2019 field notes of a program that got started. I think it was Ron and Katie or Kathy Jaworski had some property. Oh, tell that story.
Sure, yeah. These are folks that happen to have habitat for the turtle right on their property, and they wanted to do something to help. And we said, well, actually, there is something pretty easy that you can do to help, and it's build a kind of a cage, little cage that you put over the nest, and that keeps the raccoons and the other predators out, because those raccoons are pretty smart, and if they find that nest 1 year, they'll know to keep going back, and these turtles have a strong site fidelity, so they're nesting at the same spot year after year. So if you have this on your property, first of all, congratulations, that's great, and if you can do something to help it, that's fantastic too. And so anyone that's in that situation, if you go to our website, again, go to the NHC, just search that on the DNR website. We have a little one-page publication on how to build these cages and, you know, how long you should leave them up for and things like that. And, you know, if you don't have property, there's ways you can help turtles too. For example, you can report if you see a turtle crossing where you're seeing a lot of turtles cross. We want to know about those. And we put that in a database, and we can identify particularly deadly crossings where we're losing a lot of turtles.
Yeah.
And there have been some projects to actually do some culverts and things to mitigate those losses. And it's been really important when you think about if you have a 20-year-old wood turtle out there, a female, and she gets, you know, killed by a car, then that's a big loss to that population. And so we want to avoid that whenever we can. And again, these turtles, they don't necessarily respect our boundaries and our roads and things like that. And so if they've been nesting at the same spot every year, they're probably going to keep going back there from year after year.
And so volunteers play a big role in that then.
Yeah, absolutely. So volunteers are reporting. We've got a place on our website where you can report one of these turtle crossings. And there's volunteers that are helping with the nest protection as well and things like that.
Yeah, so that is really cool. I was, as looking through the publication again, I came on something, came on an animal that I really enjoy seeing, and I don't see it unless I'm in my haunts in the Shawamigan National Forest upstate, and that's the marten. They're a lot of fun to see, and there's some work done on that, research done on martens.
Yeah, another very cute, charismatic little critter.
They're fun to watch.
It's our only state endangered mammal in Wisconsin, and we have, I think, three populations at this point. Right now, we have a project going where we are using a new technique to try to capture them on camera. So we've got these little platforms, and we put out some baits, and it's kind of, you'll see it if you get our field notes here. You'll see a photo, a really cute photo of a marten kind of within this little platform. And it turned out it's been really successful. We've caught a lot of these animals much more than we thought we would. And so that's been really good. And, you know, this species kind of illustrates some important points, too, is, you know, sometimes things are rare because they're at the edge of their range. So martens are really a northern species. So they're in Wisconsin at the far north or the far south end of their range. And so why does that matter? Well, as climate changes, a lot of those tree species that are found in its habitat are projected to move north. So things like spruce and hemlock and fir. And so is it going to be around in the future? Snowpack is really important for that species because it hangs out in, I think it's called the subnivian zone, but it's the area between the ground surface and the snow. And they cruise around in there looking for mice and voles to eat and so on. And so snow depth is important as well. And, of course, climate plays into that, too. So a lot of kind of important things to consider with rare species. And, you know, climate is certainly one that we do take into consideration and will for the future.
Yeah. You mentioned, you were talking about earlier, and I've lost it in my head a little bit, but you were talking about emergency rooms.
Yeah.
Go back to that a bit, would you?
Yeah, and thanks for bringing that up, Larry. I think, again, the emergency room, sometimes we have species that really require very intense efforts. We have a couple plants that, we have one plant that occurs at a half dozen lakes in Wisconsin, nowhere else in the world.
Wow.
And we have another plant that's on the verge of being lost. And so that second plant, we're literally out there pollinating it by hand, you know, because we don't want to lose it from the state. But that's the emergency room, you know, or if we reintroduce mussels to a river where they've been lost, you know, that's the emergency room. And we don't want animals in the emergency room or plants. We want to use preventative medicine whenever possible. And so we're always looking for new approaches to conservation where we can be more proactive. Funding is always, you know, a limitation. Right now, one of the things we're keeping an eye on is this Recovering America's Wildlife Act. And that was designed to provide funding for the non-game species closer to what we see for the game species across the country. Because the same conversation, it's not just Wisconsin, the same conversation's being had in all the states of how do we proactively try to keep things off of that endangered and threatened list? Because once they go on that list, it's very, very time intensive. It takes a lot of work to
get them off.
And you have something like the whooping crane where we've been working on it, you know, for 20 years, and that's not what we want. So it's just something we're keeping our eye on. If folks are interested in that, again, there's a little information on that on our webpage as well.
And you mentioned mussels, and that's the cover photo on your 2019 field notes, and that's a cool story.
Yeah, that photo, when we saw that, we knew it had to be our cover. That's one of our biologists, and he took a selfie with his iPhone, I guess. It must be a waterproof model. And he has a snorkel on and a mask, and he's out starting surveys for the year. And what happened is we were able to conduct the first statewide survey for mussels in the last 40 years. And so it's very important information to have, is to look at the trends, because mussels, while they're not as charismatic and cute as the piping plover and the martens, they are part of the biodiversity of our state. They also clean the water, so they can filter gallons a day. One mussel can filter gallons of water every day. And so they're part of a healthy ecosystem, healthy lakes and rivers. So there is, if you're interested in that, again, there's a report that talks about that. It's called the Clam Chronicle. And it does chronicle what was found over the course of that survey. And there were some, of course, some ups and some downs. There's some high diversity areas. There's a few rivers in southern Wisconsin where we're not seeing much in the way of mussels at all. So probably issues there with the water quality and some other things. And I think, you know, that project kind of shows us the importance, again, of things like clean water and how, you know, places like the Fox River, where the mussels are doing fairly well. And, you know, because of the changes over the years to clean up the water, and we've got laws in place to protect our clean water, and how important that is. And then also the importance of doing the species monitoring, because if we don't have those baselines and we don't do this work, we won't know how things are doing. And it's our job to have a handle on how these elements of our biodiversity are doing in our state.
Well, it's always, it isn't, I agree with you 100%, Drew, and thank you so much for talking with us about it. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, Drew Feldkirchner directs the Natural Heritage Conservation Program within the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Sarah Jacobs directs me all over the place.
Watch
she
out.
Follows, go here, go there, do this, do that. And she comes by every so often to talk with me and with you about our member drive. We're in our winter member drive. And, of course, you rely on us for information, for interesting discussion. We rely on you to keep these programs going strong.
And that's because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. And I do want to celebrate last hour. We had 26 folks join in. Woohoo! And because we had that challenge going on, that meant an extra $2,600. To Wisconsin Public Radio. But even though that challenge is over, you can still make a difference with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've already renewed or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, big thank you for that. Listeners who renew and the monthly sustainers are really our backbone, really, aren't they?
It's true. And if you haven't given yet, you can join the thousands of other WPR members who are our backbone by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think if you can just about name anything.
We were just reflecting on this, actually.
Yeah, if you can name almost any topic, and I can say, well, we had that on WPR on the Ideas Network. And Wednesdays on the show, we try to focus on topics that relate to the environment and the outdoors, like wildlife and conservation, like this Natural Heritage Conservation Program. And you know, I'd like to think this is a valuable service and one worth supporting.
Indeed. Make your contribution of, say, $10 or $20 or $50 a month or whatever amount you choose, and you're supporting the Ideas Network programs and varied topics that you enjoy and rely on. This is your chance to make all of this possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, we have an exciting drawing for a $500 travel agency card. Sarah and I can't win, but you can. You'll have five chances to win, as a matter of fact. No contribution is actually necessary. You can see details at WPR.org/drawing. But better yet, hey, why not make a donation? You're automatically entered, and the donation can be any amount. I'm looking right now at one of those WPR knit hats. I'm my way over to the. I noticed that I see about 1,000 students on my walk from my other office to here.
Yeah.
At least 500 of them have knit hats on.
And they should all be WPR knit hats.
I want to get on the bandwagon here, and I'm going to do that. Probably, I think I'll do it today. I'm going to give another $20 a month. Well, what I'll do is just write a check for $240.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, you could be a sustainer or one time hat. And ask for the knit hat. We're really excited about these knit hats. They've got a maroon
really cool.
palm, single palm on the top, and really great colors. And it's a way to show off your WPR pride and, you know, maybe be a conversation starter, help others become aware of WPR. If they're not yet, they should be. You know they'd like it. It's a great way to do it.
You know that Larry will be wearing his knit hat in very short order. And you can wear one of those, too, with a $20 a month contribution. Why not do it right now? Go to WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now.
I'm Christine from Mount Horeb.
And I'm Naya from Mount Horeb.
I've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio since I started college here at the UW, and that was about 25 years ago.
I started listening to it pretty much at birth. It was on all the time at my house, and it's become a really integral part of my day.
WPR is such an important part of my life, and I realized I should become a member and donate just to make sure that WPR stays vibrant and has secure funding to continue on for myself and for my children as well.
Generations have grown up with us, and with your help now, many more can too. Go to WPR.org and click Donate.
It's a good idea, Jim. Thank you very much for that. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Sarah Jacobs. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for our shows. And maybe your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month or whatever amount you choose is the right amount. Let's put it that way.
That's so true. And the really important thing here is that you make that decision to support. You can join Scott in Omro, who said, I've listened to and enjoyed WPR for many years, but I've always taken the free ride with regards to listening. I felt it was time to step up and make a contribution. I'm so glad I did. Thank you, Scott. We are so glad you did. Now, how about you can join Scott? It's just a great, takes a few minutes of your time to make a big, big difference and step up and support what you believe in at WPR.org.
And anybody, everybody can just make the gift that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
It might be $100 a month. It might be $10 a month. It might be $5 a month. But I think most people are in that $10, $20 a month range. But I also know of at least a few people who give in the $200 a month range.
Yeah, and then some people make generous gifts of any amount, really. Every gift is a generous gift, and some people give thousands a month. Really, whatever gift works for your budget and your values and your lifestyle, that's the important gift to make, and it makes a difference. Every dollar matters at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mr. Larry here is going to kick in another $240 and get that knit hat.
It's great.
You can do that too. $240, or maybe you want to go with $20 a month. You just do it that way. They'll take it out of your bank account, or if you want to put it on your credit card, like I often do, they can do that as well. You know what? I want to thank you so much for listening in to this particular show and to all the shows that we have from 11 to 12:30. Listeners always make the show, and I'm so proud and pleased to be a part of this show, and I'm proud to pleased to have you as a listener, and I hope you'll support us. Now's the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make that contribution, and you're going to feel good knowing that you've helped Larry today and WPR.